It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Eve, are you kidding me? Does Baylor really think they stand a chance? Now that Major Burns is out of the picture, for some reason, when Major Burns, quote unquote, announced his opt-out to get ready for the NFL draft, the point spread actually moved in LSU's favor. I'm kidding. But Major Burns will not play in the bowl game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Does Baylor have an edge in this game? We'll talk about that as well. Tonight, we want to shout out our friends at Zion Imaging, the 360 Spin Booth Experience, along with the NoOffseason.com network and NOPOD Roofing. Now, you see the poll question. Brian Kelly's offensive line coach, Brad Davis. I want you to come in close on this glorious Sunday evening. I'm looking at whoever you are right now. Do you believe Brad Davis has done a great job as the LSU offensive line coach, because there really wasn't an assistant outside of Joe Sloan, maybe, who received the most criticism a year after, I think most of us would say, Brad Davis had the most positive vibes out of any assistant going into this season. Now, why should you be thanking Brad Davis right now? Well, we just probably brought in the best portal offensive line class out of anybody in college football. You bring in Josh Thompson, who in the minds of many was the best offensive lineman, period, in the transfer portal. As many of you know, I cover Tennessee pretty closely at Power Hour SEC. It is tough to beat them in a recruiting battle because they do have a very organized NIL effort. And after all the money, all the resources, all the time spent in bringing in all these other players, I'm telling you, a few weeks ago, Josh was heavily rumored to go to Tennessee. I mean, we're talking about really highly paid prognosticators. Had Josh going to Tennessee. So what do you make about that? The Northwestern offensive lineman was a top 50 pro football focus guard. All right. Then you also bring in Braylon Moore out of Virginia Tech. So what I want you to do is really ask yourself, is Brad Davis really that good of an offensive line coach? The answer might be one that you don't want to hear. Because it might not matter if he's actually good as an offensive line coach. And that will all be explained, but I first want you to hear this young man speak. A lot of you know who this is, but I will explain after you hear the clip. I'll go ahead and say who it is. This is Solomon Thomas, one of the biggest signing day recruiting flips in LSU history.
I went to a practice and I asked my coach, my ex-coach at Florida State, you know, about the offensive line coach at LSU. He was like, he's a great dude on and off the field. He'll take care of you, you know, beyond the, you know, the football aspect of it. And that's always been a guy who I've wanted to, you know, play for.
So Alex Atkins had a hand in you ending up at LSU, yes, even after he had you committed at FSU. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you to get that advice from a guy who, you know, obviously lost his job and thought he was going to coach?
Atkins became almost like a father figure to me, a father figure, a friend, somebody I can talk the Bible about. And it was nobody really like to replace him, really, or somebody I can just see replacing him at Florida State because I was there for him. In any interview I've ever done, I've always talked about how Atkins was the reason why I wanted to be at Florida State. And he was the reason why I started to like Florida State in the first place.
It's all coming together in your mind, right? Solomon Thomas wasn't going to go to Florida State when they fired Alex Atkins. I don't understand why Florida State fired Alex Atkins. No idea. Everyone viewed him as arguably the best O-line coach in the country after what Florida State did last year. So they fired him. And I can tell you with a gazillion percent certainty that there was another offensive lineman that would not have gone to LSU if it wasn't for Brad Davis. No money amount could have gotten him to LSU if it wasn't for Brad Davis. And his name is Kerryius Kern. I could say with 1,000% certainty, because as many of you know, I've spoken with Kerryius Kern. So think about it. Our two best offensive line commits committed to LSU. Are they getting paid? Yeah. Like every other recruit. That's a top 100 recruit. Probably getting a good number. But they could have gone anywhere. And you have heard from both of them that it was Brad Davis. Now let that sink in. Also, Braylon Moore was interested in other schools. Brad Davis. Give the man his flowers when it comes to recruiting. And I understand that this was the single most hyped offensive line that we have ever had at LSU. And it was the most disappointing. I think we can all agree on that. Were they the worst offensive line we've ever seen? No. But we were not well managed. And a lot of that is on Brian Kelly as well. We didn't have the proper depth at certain positions. Our line shouldn't have just completely fallen apart when one player in Garrett Dellinger went down. And a lot of that is on Brad Davis. But I want to bring up a name that some of you might know, some of you might not. And his name is Bill Bendenbaugh. He is the Oklahoma offensive line coach. Now, if you were to go around the entire world of college football and you were to ask, hey, who is the best, the absolute best offensive line coach in the SEC? Who's the best? I would probably say 60 to 70% of the responses would have Bill Bendenbaugh number one or number two. All right, so this guy obviously knows offensive line play at Oklahoma. Oklahoma had the worst offensive line in the SEC. The worst. They were ass. You can argue Mississippi State, but why was their offensive line so bad? Well, a lot of them just got their asses kicked. But a lot of it was because the quarterback play was bad. And the wide receiver play was bad. And the play calling was bad. So what if offensive line coaching, the actual coaching itself, has very little to do with the offensive line coach? It might not be very little, but it's probably not as much as we probably think. So Brad Davis, when he had college football playoff offensive coordinator and Broyles Award finalist, Mike Dimbrock, we all thought he was a good offensive line coach. When he had Jaden Daniels, we all thought he was a good offensive line coach. Do we just think now that he can't coach or develop the position? Now, I've gotten a lot of questions about Weston Davis. All right. Is he very talented? Yes. Does he have a very rich basketball athletic background? Yes, but he's not the biggest guy. I've been asked about some of these other offensive linemen over the past couple of seasons that were top 100-ish recruits that probably didn't pan out the way that we thought they were, some of which were previous to that of Brad Davis. That's okay. That's fine, and it's definitely worthy of criticism how the actual line play was this season. But, y'all, there are very good offensive line coaches out there that had bad offensive lines this year. Bad. Bad, 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 bad. Okay? Tennessee had bad offensive line play this year. They still found a way to make it to the playoff. Why? Because they had a really good play caller. So, look, I don't know Brad Davis. Never spoken to him in my life. I could say that with a gazillion percent certainty. He's not paying me nothing to say anything nice about him here. And he gets paid a lot of money. He is one of the highest paid offensive line coaches in the history of the sport. So we should want better play from the guys up front. But one thing you can say a gazillion percent about him is the relationship building aspect of the position is really good. Do you really think we were offering so much more money to these other transfer offensive linemen? Honestly, do you really think that? I can also, like we shared a minute ago about the offensive line's recruits at a high school, Solomon Thomas. You had an offensive line coach and Alex Atkins who said, hey, go to Brian Davis. Even if Alex and Brad are best of friends, that's pretty big for a guy that's been recruiting this guy for years to not give Solomon Thomas a real professional opinion. Okay? Now, you guys know, I am not afraid to absolutely roast any LSU assistant coach. But I have done a lot of work on this today, made a lot of phone calls, and spoken to people I trust with this information. A lot of people like Brad. And the irony as we get into this next topic today is that the biggest moment of Brad Davis's career actually happened in the game that we're about to play. Texas Bowl happened. He was the interim head coach. Brian Kelly was in. There were mixed feelings about Brad Davis hanging around with the new regime. He was the only coach retained. And so far, so good. Okay. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't know if these transfers are going to be world beaters. I don't know if Kern and Thomas are going to be otherworldly themselves. I'm not even mentioning Tyler Miller, who got very strong pushes from the Mississippi schools. You know, this man, I've never seen anything like it when it comes to building trust with the players themselves. I can also share with you that Emory Jones is very interested in going to Arkansas when Brad Davis was there. All right? But all this means nothing if our offensive line play is under expectation this next year. So we need to do better in that front. But even then, I think a lot of that is Sloan as well. I do. So there you go. Now, we got to talk about Baylor. We got to talk about Major Burns. But we also got to talk to the man who made our new open. Big Dex is with me. Skipper says he has sucked at developing talent. I would strongly disagree with developing talent. Obviously, the DJ Chester decision was disastrous. But, you know, Garrett Dellinger became a better player under Brad Davis. I don't think there's any questions about that. You know, Gary Dellinger's first year as a true freshman was really up and down. And he actually just gradually improved as the seasons moved on. And when he was healthy, he was one of the best linemen, to me, at run blocking in the SEC. Well, that's probably a little strong. But still, I think Gary Dellinger did get better. Okay. Randy thinks the problem is Joe Sloan. I think a lot of it is that. Okay. But yes, I will happily defend Brad Davis on here. Okay. Let's go to Bullfrog. He says having an actual center will elevate this offense. Yeah, I agree. I here's the thing about center play. All right. It doesn't need to be great. It honestly, you don't need to be elite at center to win ever. You just can't be bad. I think outside of quarterback, the second most important position to not be bad at is center. Okay? It is the second. Let me explain that more clearly. If your center stinks, you're in a world of trouble. And you just honestly have to break it down philosophically. What is the number one thing an offense must do when it comes to facing a defense? The single most important thing you must do versus every single defense is guard the A-gaps. That is the single absolute most important thing. Well, who is involved with that on 99% of the time? It's your centers. Okay? So as a center, you must snap the football well. DJ Chester was really good at that. But obviously, you need to hold up the A-gaps. We were not good at that. Okay? It's a hard position. That's why you don't need to be great. There, you just can't. Ugh. You just can't. Now, next topic. And we'll get back into the Brad Davis discussion a little bit later. I know it's kind of random. But when I saw that Solomon Thomas clip earlier today, I was like, man, I got to talk about it. Now, type Y for yes, tip in for no, if you can hear me loud and clear. Want to say a special shout out to the lovely couple last night. I had to DJ their wedding. There were some purple and gold tigers. God, it was the house. We brought the house down. Madeline and Luke House. Really, really good stuff. Thank you guys so much for trusting me with your evening. Next thing, I want to say thank you guys for all the messages regarding my father-in-law. Really do appreciate it. He's doing better. He's on the mend. And I got to spend quite a bit of time with him today. So I really appreciate you. And as always, tell your parents you love them every single day and spend as much time with them as you possibly can. Okay? Now, let's talk about Major Burns. Cannot state enough how good this is for LSU that he is not playing in the bowl game. Y'all, in this bowl game versus Baylor, we are literally playing a lot of guys who did not play at all. And that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Now, this was a viral tweet from me, and this has been a big talking point in our Discord. By the way, please sign up for that. Go to patreon.com/LSU football cards, or excuse me, LSU football. The bowl season's been really good. The playoff games are the ones that have sucked. Bowl season has been incredible. So many close games. So many teams playing hard. But for some reason, we got to focus on one player quitting at halftime and Cam Ward. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal. I do think it's a little bit different for a quarterback compared to a wide receiver and Malik Nabers. I also think the Malik Nabers situation was also very different in that he wanted to set some records. But the bottom line is the bowl season's been great. I do not care if we get absolutely roasted by Baylor, which is not going to happen. I do care about the intel we can gain from some of the players. You know, A&M losing that bowl game versus USC might be one of the best things for them. Why? Because USC has big-time wide receivers, as we learned. And guess what? A&M spent a lot of time and resources recruiting Desmond Ricks, who was going to go to LSU. All right, he was going to go to LSU, and what happened? He ended up picking Alabama. Didn't really play at Alabama. So he goes to Texas A&M and has the worst bowl game I can remember a corner having versus USC. That's very valuable intel for Texas A&M. That's very valuable intel. So you can learn a lot from a bowl game. You can. Now, is the data somewhat flawed considering there's so many different backups and stuff like that? Yeah, sure. But, you know, you can gain good intel. We have seen a lot of different bowl teams that play these nothing-to-prove games have guys step up, and you're like, holy crap, who the hell is this? Who the hell is this? I cannot state this enough. College football is the biggest roster guessing game we have in all of sports. You don't know a damn thing. You don't know a damn thing until you actually play a kid. You really don't. Do any of y'all know if Walker Howard's good at football? You can guess. You don't know, though. He's not played. Yeah, you don't know. As many of you know, I'm Power Hour SEC. I cover Tennessee. I cover Oklahoma. Also cover the Arkansas Razorbacks. They had a bowl game where they had a ton of wide receivers opt out. A ton. And their 17th string wide receiver was a three-star named Dasmond James, who ran a 10.3 100-meter dash. He went off. He went absolutely berserk. Blocking, great. Catching, great. All those different things. You don't know a damn thing until the bullets fly. So my inclination tells me in this bowl game versus Baylor, we will learn about a player or two that might have been good all along, but they never really got their chance. You could find a diamond in the rough in the bowl games. So to say that this Baylor game means nothing, yeah, the actual result of the game might not mean a lot to you. I am more inclined to gain as much detail and intel as I can. Now, once again, you don't want to get too carried away because the other team has a ton of opt-outs. So you do have, you know, some guys that might play well versus backups. But even if you think Baylor has a small edge, and this is a small edge I think that they have, this game is clearly a step up for them, while this game is a step down for us. We were just in this bowl game. We're a way bigger brand than Baylor. We were at one point in the college football playoff hunt. So you do have, obviously, the very one-sided nature as far as one coach having the biggest moment of his career at LSU. So we'll see. But it is so important to know this as a college football fan. The college football sport. Like, just think of it as a sport. All levels of college football. I'm not just talking about Division I Power Four football. It's all levels of college football. It is the sport that has the smallest sample size. It is also the sport that has the largest rosters. So if you have a small amount of games, an absolutely massive amount of players, you're never a gazillion percent going to know if so-and-so can play or not play. All right? I don't know if Bo Bordelon's a good offensive lineman. I would probably lean towards me saying no to that, that he is a Division I Power 4 SEC offensive lineman. This is a guy who played tight end this year. But I don't know that. I don't know that. I know he wanted me some money making the critical block versus Army to spring Trey Holly to get that over bet on that 60.5. It's crazy. It's crazy. What about JV and Tobiana? Well, it's a little bit different for him. We've seen him play quite a bit. Not seen him at safety. We'll see how it goes. I have my skepticisms. We'll see. Okay. So, obviously, Baylor might have a motivational edge, but there are a lot of hungry LSU tackle football players who want to go out there and make plays. Okay. Now, we're going to be thin. Might see a walk-on or two. We'll be fine. Okay. Last thing before we get to this first break, because I want to talk about Harold Perkins. Got a very strong Harold Perkins take coming up. DJ Pickett has been in bowl practices. Already given him a single-digit number, too. They gave him Sage Ryan's number 3. You guys know how I am about that. I never like starting a freshman off in a single digit. Never. Never. You're giving a guy something that he's not earned. Everybody wants a single digit. Every single player on a team wants a single digit. And I'm like that. Unless you're Jeremiah Smith and it is a gazillion percent certain that you are that dude, because Jeremiah Smith would have gotten drafted before this season at Ohio State. But DJ Pickett might be that guy. I've heard some good things, but I've also heard there's some adjusting going on. But the dude looks like a lengthy freak, like a lot of us know. But it is interesting to see, you know, an early enrollee like that get those practice reps, and it's good to have him locked in. Okay? That is true, Bonos. The jersey numbers for bowl practices do get weird. You are right about that. Okay? Now, coming up next, are you, yes, whoever you are watching this right now, are you excited for the return of Harold Perkins? Because obviously when he played this year, it was a mixed bag. But first,
book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's X-Y-A-N Imaging.
Earn $250 in cash for every successful referral. Our fully insured roofing services guarantee your peace of mind.
LSU, Mount Rushmore.
Shaq. Pete Maravich. I'm going to put me on there. I'm going to put Odell on there. Yeah.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top 5 pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com.
Y'all, I am mad. I'm so mad. I'm happy Harold Perkins is back. But this was an actual tweet sent out by the NFL account. The MVP race after 17 weeks. Who would you pick? And they only show Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, even though Joe Burrow has 4,200 passing yards. While Allen only has 3,731 and Lamar has 3,955. Now, of course, Lamar clears Joe when it comes to rushing yards, as does Josh Allen. But Joe Burrow has 200 rushing yards as well. It's not like he is a statue back there. So say what you want about, well, Joe Burrow's team is only 8-8. Yeah. He's got by far the worst defense. He's also got by far the worst head coach. Joe Burrow deserves the NFL MVP. Bias be damned. But we're talking about Harold Perkins. I wanted to throw that in there because my analytics say don't talk about NFL at all. That's why I started a Power Hour NFL channel. So if you want more on that, check it out. Now, let's have a strong conversation about Harold Perkins. Are you excited? Give me a number. 10 being the best. One being the lowest. How excited are you that Harold Perkins is coming back? 10 being the best, one being the lowest. Okay? He did chance, but he was that guy. So if DJ Pickett is that guy, then he deserves a single digit right off the jump. 10 being the best, 1 being the lowest. What's up, Sibley? I saw you lurking back in there. Look at John Sibley. Love to see it. Lots of sevens in here. Lowest grade right now is a 6. Okay. Bo says healthy Perk, 9-10. He was healthy this year, though. So let me ask you this. While he was healthy this year, on a scale of 1-10, how would you grade Harold Perkins? 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. How would you grade him defensively this season? One being the lowest, 10 being the highest. Okay. And I'll let you get your responses in. Nine, nine, seven. Jared says 6. J Rome, what's good? Bullfrog, Tony. TJ gives a very honest 4 this year. This season, 6. 7.5. AP says, now we have weeks. Sam says, anything higher than a 6 is a lie. That's about where I would be with Perk this last season. I'd have him at about like a 5 or a 6. You know, he had the big play versus USC to start that game. But, you know, the second half versus South Carolina was really good, but that was when the backup quarterback was in for them. So, you know, a lot of Harold Perkins' biggest games have come against backup quarterbacks. It's just the truth. Now, he did have that massive game versus Bryce Young that got us that win in 2022. But a lot of that is true, okay? I think his Missouri game in 2023 was underrated, but most of 2023 was kind of eh. And it was tough as a defensive coordinator. And this is one of my biggest defenses of Matt House. And once again, I'm the biggest Matt House hater. Whether that's true or not, I've already been labeled that. Won't get into all the history regarding me and Matt, but whatever. Where I'll defend him is it was tough for Matt House to navigate a defense while also trying to navigate a position. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that Harold Perkins will play the star, which is kind of the nickel, the role that Major Burns played. We had already kind of moved towards a 4-3, which is a linebacker playing the star, if you will, even though it's not quite that. It gets into semantics. It's somewhat the same things. It's kind of sort of not, whatever. The truth remains the same, though, that it is interesting that every time you talk about Harold Perkins, you have to include the caveat of if we figure out the right position for him. Harold Perkins will be very successful if he goes into this next offseason with a very open mind that he is an unfinished product as a player. And while everything you did in the past was good, it's time for you to turn the page to figure out what your future is. It's not only about now, it's about like your future in the NFL and beyond. Now, were there instances this past season where offenses schemed up Harold Perkins? Yeah, there was plenty of instances where that was the case. Plenty. And now that Whit Weeks is a superstar, well, I put this like this. He had superstar games. That will hopefully elevate the play of Harold Perkins. It should be interesting, though. One thing that will help him out a lot is Blake Baker is a lot like Dave Aranda, that when it gets into third and long, he's not afraid to get very exotic, not just with his defensive packages, but with his defensive personnel in those packages. Everyone say hi to Hey Hey.
Thank you, baby.
Ooh. So, there you go. Let's go to Tony. He says, Carter, Harold Perkins is out of position a lot. Yeah, I mean, sure. There were instances where teams just went right at him in the pass and in the run. Pierce says, I am once again asking Harold Perkins to play running back. So there you go. And here's something else. What if Devon Keyes is like a star? Like what, like not the star position, but what if he is like burgeoning into being a very, very, very good player? So would that make Keyes and Weeks the starting backers and then Harold Perkins the star? Is Harold Perkins a starter? I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. The interesting thing, though, is I believe Harold Perkins really wants to be here. Remember, Harold Perkins could have entered the portal to see what was out there. I don't think a single LSU fan would have blamed him for that. After when he played, it was an up and down season. Why not test to see what else is out there? But he never did that. Never did that. There's also some discomfort from Harold Perkins' side of things that people were digging into his injury. Not that he wasn't hurt, but, you know, there was a tweet from someone in his camp saying that people were violating HIPAA which wasn't the case, but you get the point. So there was some frustration on how that all unfolded for LSU. The one thing I'll say, as all my patrons know, I give a grade for every single position group at the end of every single game. It's all a part of your subscription. I am not PFF. I don't have the wherewithal or the time to do a full grade of every single player and every single snap. But I could say that Harold Perkins' worst game was the UCLA game before the injury. I think all the other games were okay. I don't think any of the other games were just bad. Before the injury, Harold Perkins was having a rough game. So maybe Pierce is right. Maybe he's not even on the right side of the football. So we'll see what happens. But overall, it is a high upside addition for LSU to bring him back. And if he becomes half the playmaker he was as a true freshman, and in the Missouri game versus in 2023, will be a really good defense next year. Okay? Now, let's see here. Bill Rose coming back, whatever. Not worried about him right now. I think he should come back. Tony says put him at safety. I don't know if you want to do that. TJ says I want to see improved tackling. Tyler, good to see you. Big T. Now, I'm not going to say that, Bullfrog. I don't think anyone should say that until we actually stop a QB run game. You know, the most compliments I've ever gotten on any of these, like, transfer portal videos was Jack Pyburn making a good play on Marcel Reed. And people are like, oh, look, someone that could tackle Marcel Reed. Sign me up. So there you go. Now, next thing. Really excited about Braylon Moore. Obviously, you guys are bringing him up a little bit earlier as far as him joining this team. I think Braylon Moore is a very solid center. Like I said, I don't think he's going to be bad. We were bad at center this year. We're just bad. And the fact that he'll be an SEC quality center, in my mind, my best guess, is a good thing. I will say, though, he's not the biggest guy. So he will have some power issues. And one thing that is very important, don't get too carried away with what I'm about to say. I'm asking you kindly to not get carried away. All right. The ACC was bad this year. Crazy stat regarding the ACC. They are 0-10 against the spread this year in bowl games. That has never happened. Ever. Let me repeat. They are 0-10 against the number in bowl games this year. And it's not this, it's not, they aren't covering. It's, they're not even close. They are missing the spread by an average of 8 points, according to Brad Powers. 0-10 So we brought in two ACC transfers. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that conference. I don't. SMU got blown out by a Penn State team who had not looked that good all year. Honestly, anyone that watched Penn State, you know that they had not looked that good all year. And then, of course, Clemson, they put up a fight against Texas. Dabo's a great coach, but All right, please no play-by-play of the Commanders game in here. Trust me, it's hard enough because I have to do a Commanders film study after this. I got to speed the game through to rewatch. Just give me score updates if that's okay. Interesting. Now, Georgia Tech. Yeah, they're interesting. They should have beaten Georgia. Y'all right about that. But you know, rivalry week is crazy. We got Grant Yinney in here. There we go. You know it's a special live stream when Grant Yinney's in this thing. Let's go. Let's freaking go. You know, one of my favorite things about doing this channel is the offseason. You got to really love this stuff. Because offseason, because I don't cover LSU baseball closely. I do a lot of women's basketball stuff. But still, I do want to point this out, though, because I am so freaking glad that the LSU women's team almost got beat today. Now, I say almost. They were able to pull away. But women's basketball non-conference scheduling can get brutal. There is such a sharp drop-off in, like, SEC-level play or just the elites to, like, the non-elites. It's why UConn's and the Tennessees, Notre Dame, Stanford, that's why they have all these Final Fours and Natties and all of that. There's such a sharp drop-off. And Albany came in and gave us a business. We were able to pull away in that fourth quarter. So I was very excited to see Kim Mulkey's team get tested. Now I was busy doing NFL stuff. I was just kind of keeping up with the game in the background. But you need that. You know, because one thing we can say, and this is not criticism, it's just what's happened when it comes to close in-game fourth quarter kinds of games, we have had some issues. We've had some massive, massive, massive issues. So it was good seeing them get pushed, okay? I am getting pumped up for baseball. The groom, who I DJ'd the wedding for, was actually a top Division II pitcher. I didn't know that going into it for the OBU Tigers. Roy Kent, what's good? Let's see. I just realized this. We have not gotten a super chat yet tonight. So I got to give something out to make. What are we going to do? Let me find something real quick. Do it. Let's give this out. I don't like giving these out. Let's go big. First $50 super, Glenn Dorsey game worn uniform. It's going to you first thing in the morning. Or if we get to 50 in supers. Either or, we'll do it. Now, a few other things I want to get into before we get into the Baylor game. You know, I have to give Bayou Traditions a lot of credit. Man, they are so much more organized. They are so much more focused now. And it just honestly took motivation. That was a lot of it. You know, do you think magically we started just winning all these battles? Yeah, it was an influx of money. But a lot of, you know, this time period last year was a little bit more of a laissez-faire attitude. We were fine with our development. We were fine with our young players. Y'all, age matters. Age matters. And now with this JUCO ruling, and actually Blake and I talked about this for a while earlier today, the JUCO ruling is going to shape college baseball more, if anything else, than football. But football is going to be drastically changed by that. Age matters. It really, really, really does. And especially in the SEC, once again, unless you're Jeremiah Smith or you're Whit Weeks or someone who's ready to play high-end football at a young age, you're probably not good enough. You're just not. Okay? And this year, in the sake of development and in the sake of them being young players and guys directly out of high school, we played a lot of guys that weren't ready. It's a problem. Now, another thing. If you are a wide receiver and you're thinking about going to LSU and you go somewhere else, you're a bold person. You're a bold, bold, bold person. Because Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. are going to be so generationally wealthy by going to LSU. Now, there are other receivers that go to other schools and get generational bags. Sure. But go to Texas A&M where they can keep saying, yeah, we've got Mike Evans. And who else? I'm literally waiting. Who else? Ricky Seals Jones. Ricky Seals Jones. You okay? Cool. Oh, you want to go to Oregon? Cool. Call me Lemure. I'm Beauty and the Beast. Be my guest. Be my guest. Go to Oregon. Good. Des Johnson is a beast on Oregon. I could see him being a good NFL player. Go for it. But y'all, Justin Jefferson is generationally wealthy. Every single person that signs an NFL contract immediately goes to the top 1% of earners in the country. But Justin Jefferson's in the 1% of the 1%. Actually, no, that would probably be billionaires. But he's getting $30 million a year to play wide receiver. But it's not just the wide receiver position. Two best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow. Because there's too many good quarterbacks in the NFL. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson. But according to Ben Baldwin, who is a controversial analytics guy, I don't agree with everything Ben says, but the two quarterbacks in adjusted EPA per play, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow. Both thriving in non-perfect situations. Joe's got elite pass catcher, sure. By far the best 1-2 combo in the NFL. Offensive line, eh. Defense, eh. Head coach, eh. Jaden Daniels. Not a great O-line. Jaden Daniels is making a guy named Alamedius Zacchaeus, a wide receiver. That's a dude. Defensive linemen. Even the ones that don't start their careers well. You know who made plays today? Caleb Von Chason versus the Saints. Made some plays. So even if you don't start your career well, Christian Fulton has had a bit of a career resurgence here with the Chargers. Just go to LSU, damn it. Just go to LSU. Doesn't matter if you're out of high school. Doesn't matter if you're a transfer. But what if you suck at football? What if you're just all hype? No buzz, no nothing. Go to LSU. That's the biggest brand. LSU's most marketable athlete didn't even participate in its last national championship. That, of course, is Livy Dunn. That brand, those three letters. And you guys know I'm very pro-Livy on here. I'm glad she's back for another season. She's actually a decent gymnast. Now, she's no Haley Bryant, but who is? Brand equity. Oh, God, here's PJ. Well, what happened to Jamarcus Russell, sir? Okay. Every single school, the history of mankind, has players that don't work out. Every single one. I've never gone in an Alabama chat and said, well, what happened to Henry Ruggs? You know, everybody has stupid stuff. Everybody. Now, here's what you're going to do. Next 10 to 15, we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you're super, we'll keep it going. Okay? Now, a few things about Baylor. Baylor right now has checked again. 3.5-point favorites versus LSU. And I don't know. Obviously, we had quite a few opt-outs. And I do not think we are the side here. I really don't. We are playing so many new guys. And I know you could say that about so many different bowl teams, but holy moly. it's a ridiculous amount of guys. Now, do I give Braden Swinson and Savion Jones and a lot of these guys credit for playing in this final game? Paris Shand, Greg Penn. Yeah, of course. And that gives me some hope, you know, heading into Baylor next week. And Baylor themselves aren't really that good of a team. But look, is it a sign of culture issues that we had so many opt-outs? I don't think so. Because over the past couple of seasons, we didn't really have that many opt-outs. And the thing that really stings for me when it comes to this Baylor game is we were so motivated in all our other bowl games. Literally all our other bowl games. All right, so, you know, going into the first year, we were ecstatic with where we were as a program. Ecstatic. Miraculously made the SEC championship game and, you know, beat Purdue. Purdue had so many opt-outs, though. I mean, honestly, we could have started our walk-on quarterback and won that game. It was that lopsided. And then, obviously, the Wisconsin game was a bit of a disappointment. But there was so much excitement around Garrett Nussmeier. And a lot of the players knew that this was a Joe Sloan dress rehearsal. So there was a lot of motivation going into that game. Also, Malik Nabers in the record was something. We also had Mekhi Wingo fight his way back to health, to play in this game. So there was a lot of motivation going into that one. A lot. This year, what is the thing? What is the thing about this bowl game? Honestly, nothing. We have players in this game who played in this bowl game a few years ago. There's no big thing. Now, that doesn't mean that the players aren't fully focused going into this game. That's not what I'm saying. If you're a true competitor, you get excited about every last opportunity you get to wear purple and gold and play Division I Power 4 college football game. Yeah, I don't know, Grant. I don't ever want to put the cart before the horse or something like that. Could it get that bad where you don't have a quarterback at all? Yeah, it could. One in the background. So there you go. Grant was our first super chatter. And since Grant has been supporting us for so long, bang! Congratulations, Grant. Hooking up with the Glenn Dorsey. Game-worn patch card. Grant and I, of course, college classmates. I said 50 a minute ago. I was going to give it to the first super regardless. I didn't watch it, AP. I didn't watch the rodeo ball. Send me a link. I think we're friends on Twitter.com. I'm not going to say Jaden Daniels has been the best quarterback in the NFL, but he has no doubt been the most exciting. He has played in the most exciting endings. All right. Let's play a little bit of trivia. Once again, trivia question. Thanks to our friends at Zion Imaging. If you are booking a celebration party or anything like that, seriously, the 360 spin booth is the coolest thing. Zion Imaging, that's xyanimaging.com. Okay. I'm about to share something that's going to be so unfreaking believably ridiculous. Okay. I want you to guess who this quarterback is. All right. I whited out the name of the quarterback here. Plus 1.1 EPA per play today versus the blank is the sixth best single game EPA per play of a quarterback since 1999. Can you name the quarterback? These are the other five quarterbacks who had better games than this guy today. Peyton Manning versus Baltimore in 2007. Phillip Rivers versus Denver in 2007. Lamar Jackson versus Cincinnati in 19. Peyton Manning versus Indiana. Tom Brady versus Miami in 2007. Can you name this quarterback? The sixth analytically best quarterback performance since 1999. Who was it? Jared said Rattler. Sean says Lamar Jackson. Both are incorrect. Lamar was a good guess, though. It's not Jaden Daniels, who's going for it on fourth and five right here. It's not Joe Burrow. Not Joe Burrow. I will say, though, this is a byproduct of LSU, though. It's not Drew Brees. It happened today. It is not Josh Allen. It is not Sam Darnold, even though he did have another good day today. I'll repeat, it is LSU adjacent, though. An LSU player is not the guy, but an LSU player is the reason why this happened. Bang, finally got it. Drew Lock. Drew freaking Lock. The sixth best single game performance when it comes to EPA per play, was Drew Lock. Think about that. Drew Lock's name is next to Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, Lamar Jackson, and Tom Brady. So what does that mean? What is my point? And by the way, the stat was from, I believe, Patton Analytics. That means Malik Nabers is so damn good that he can make Drew Lock, who has been ass, Malik Nabers can make a quarterback turn into a name that you would get confused with the all-time best. Now, of course, this is just one game. This is just one measly game. But there you go. Y'all see Brian Thomas Jr.? He's making Mac Jones look good. Yeah, Drew Lock of the New York Giants. And I like Drew Lock. I do. I've always found him to be a fun, refreshing personality. You know one story that's not getting talked about enough? Aaron Rodgers taking himself out of the game today. You know what's crazy? You know one guy that's been like ridiculously good. Like you watch him and you think he's like, there's a range of outcomes where he can be like Christian McCaffrey. Is a Bucky Irving, dude. Bucky Irving's good. Justin Jefferson making Sam Darnold look good. That's true. Darnold though is like he's done some really high level things this year. But yeah, a lot of that is Jay Jettis. A lot. Also, Saints hot take. Rattler's interceptions were not that bad today. The first in the second half happened two plays after he had his head slammed into the turf. And then the final, we were losing and he just had to force something on 3rd and 12. With that said, I'm not a Rattler guy as a franchise quarterback. As a franchise backup, sure. But, man, the Saints and Pelicans are this co-ownership stuff is just not what we need. Because now we have a situation where both teams need to be fixed in a major way. And I'll tell you this, the one thing that pissed me off more than anything else, I swear to you, there's nothing, I've never gotten a notification on my phone that has pissed me off. Like, I didn't care that the Saints were getting our ass kicked. I really didn't care. I didn't care that the Pelicans lost the other day because they've done a lot of losing. I get a notification that says, Zion Williamson has been cleared activity. Bro, the damage is done. The blood is cold. The Kane Center? Let's do it. Here's the thing about Todd Graves buying a team, though. Right? I don't know Todd. I've hung out with him. I drank with Todd one time. I'm a great guy. I'm a huge Graves guy. Huge Graves guy. I don't think he wants to be with owning any certain team because he has so many sponsorship deals for teams. Right? So Kane has huge sponsorship tie-ins with the Cowboys. All right. Huge. I mean they're such a big nationwide brand now that I don't think Todd wants anything to do.
But my audio got bad. Cooper Fly. This goes Rodriguez from Kentucky. I like him. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. It's because I have this playing in the background. There we go. I don't know why that does that. Let me know if it's better. It might still not be good. I'll finish out this Jaden Daniels drive, and then we'll skin down. And once again, thanks to NOPOD. Okay, so second and goal. Y'all want to see something crazy? All right, so I never like to share like my bad fantasy beats, but last year I was a very good fantasy. I had very good results when it comes to fantasy football. I don't know if I consider myself a good fantasy football player at all. Okay, I do though. I've played in this league my entire life. It's, you know, everyone's in our own like kind of friend group league. And I'm going to share with you, because today I would have won the league. This is the play that cost me my fantasy league. All right. This is the wildest thing that's ever happened to me. So I won my fantasy matchup by like half a point. And this was the play. They stat corrected this and gave the Bills a sack. And this was a sack that they corrected on Monday morning.
So this play.
All right. Play action. All right. So if Drake May would have just thrown this ball away, I'm in my fantasy playoff finals. All right. But he ran out of bounds right at the stick. And because it was for like half a yard loss, they didn't call this a sack at first, and that's what cost me the point, and I would have won my fantasy league today. As you can see, I'm not mad about it at all. That's it. Worst fantasy beat of my life right there. AP, I appreciate it, man. I gave a small update a little bit earlier. I was able to spend a good bit of today with him. He's feeling better, still fighting cancer, but the big surgery on his brain, yes, that thing is kind of important, was successful. And the single most important thing is a very religious guy, very Christian guy. Christmas is his favorite thing. There's nothing in the world he loves more than just hanging out with the family during Christmas. So he had the brain surgery on 2 days before Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, he was able to come home. Couldn't believe it. So he was able to spend Christmas with us. And yeah, a lot of crying for me, boy. I was a wreck. I was so happy. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Cade York. I really don't. Pierce, I appreciate you, man. All right, y'all. I'm done. Y'all enjoy this Jaden Daniels game the rest of the way. I will have a film study on Power Hour NFL up after the game. That's what I'm about to go do right now. Big thanks to Zion Imaging, and our big winner tonight is Mr. Grant. There we go. It is Power Hour NFL. Freudian slip. Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight we are doing, oh, gumbo, let's go.